Turn with me to Luke chapter 3 and verse 7.
Luke chapter 3 and verse 7. I'm not a morning person. When I wake up in a fog and I move slowly until the coffee begins to take effect. When I was in the military, I didn't have the option to do that. The trumpet would go off with reveille, and I would be rudely awakened from my sleep and be in a hurry to do the things I was called upon to do. Sometimes wake-up calls can be irritating, annoying, and can even make you mad, right? I really liked when I got out of basic training, I no longer had to hear the trumpet in my ear when I got up in the morning. What a great day that was. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Wake-up calls may be irritating sometimes, but they're necessary, right? We got to get up. We got to do the things of life. Wake-up calls spiritually are especially necessary. And so if you don't know Jesus Christ, a wake-up call can mean the difference between hell and heaven for you. If you do know Jesus, a wake-up call could mean the difference between the discipline of God and enjoying the blessings of the eternal life that you already have. So it is a very significant thing. And in this scripture today, John the Baptist is giving a wake-up call to the people of Israel. The people of Israel, as well as some soldiers and others who are gathered and who have come to him in the wilderness, and many of them are thinking, you know, I'm doing all right. I'm religious. I'm a Jew. I'm a descendant of Abraham. I'm doing good things. I'm okay with God. And then John just shatters that illusion completely. He calls them a brood of vipers. And then he says, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? He says, produce fruits consistent with repentance. And so he says, look, he says, don't think that you can say, because I'm a child of Abraham, I'm okay with God. So he is challenging their belief that just because they're descendants of Abraham, that they're okay with God. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. A lot of times when I go out in the community, I'll have somebody tell me, my daddy was a preacher, or my uncle, or my grandfather, or somebody was a deacon, and I'm okay with God. Or perhaps maybe they say, well, I go to church. Well, I do good things. I'm active in the community, okay? So the idea is that I'm okay with God. But the Bible says that we need to repent and put our trust in Jesus. There's no other way to get to heaven. No amount of good deeds will do. No godly people in your family will get you there. It is Jesus and Jesus alone. And so we need to recognize the need for repentance and trust in Jesus. The title of my message today is A Wake-Up Call for the Unrepentant. A Wake-Up Call for the Unrepentant. And if you'll look with me in Luke 3 and verse 7, we'll read the scripture. It says, he said, then said to the crowds who came out to be baptized by him, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Therefore produce fruit consistent with repentance. And don't start saying to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that God is able to raise up children for Abraham from these stones. The axe is already at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that doesn't produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. A wake-up call for the unrepentant. What are we to do? Well, he calls you to perceive your nature. to perceive your nature. Look at verse 7. He then said to the crowds who came out to be baptized by him, brood of vipers. Now, vipers have a certain nature, don't they? You don't want to step on a viper. You don't want to disturb or agitate a viper. Because if you do, the nature of that viper is to lash out, to bite, and to inject you with venom. Okay? It's dangerous to people. By the way, it's also dangerous to other vipers. You know, they refuse to share food. So if another viper happens to be trying to eat what they want to eat, sometimes a bigger viper will eat the animal and the viper that's trying to eat the animal at the same time. So these guys are dangerous. This is the nature that he says these people have as they come to hear from him. They think, oh, we're great, we're in good shape, we're children of Abraham. But he says, no, you're a brood of vipers. You have a heart and a nature that is dangerous and that is wicked. That's the idea. In the Old Testament, the Psalms talk about the fact that there's none righteous, no, not one. We also know that from Romans, right? He says there's none who does good. There's none who seek God. They have all turned back together, and their hearts are wicked, and their throats are open graves. This is the nature and the heart of man apart from God. Okay? Paul, the great apostle, even said of himself, he said, I know that in my flesh, that is in my old nature, there is no good thing. Isn't that a remarkable thing for an apostle to say? So we've got to perceive our nature. We don't come to heaven because we merit heaven, and we don't have favor with God because we merit favor with God. We're sinners in need of a Savior. And thank God that we have a God who loves us enough to send Jesus. I love that verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes or trusts in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But you see, sometimes religion can be the enemy of knowing God, because we put our trust in religion rather than putting our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I can remember living my life religiously. My parents took me to church. That wasn't a choice. But I thought I was okay with God because I had gone through the motions of a decision, but I really had not given my heart to Christ. I was not serious about it, but I thought I was okay. And I was religious. I knew the songs in the hymn book. I knew what to say and what not to say at church. I even knew a lot of the theology. I could answer questions in Sunday school. But I did not know Jesus. And you see, perceiving the nature that we have as sinners before God shows us our need for Jesus. So that's the first thing we've got to do, to wake up if we're unrepentant. By the way, it is true that lost people need to wake up to their nature, but it's also true that we need to recognize as Christians what our nature is. Now, we've got an old nature and we've got a new nature, but can I tell you something? That old nature is no better than it ever has been. It's still wicked. It's still evil. It still wants to do things that are displeasing to God. Sometimes I hear people say, and they're talking about a sin, they'll say, well, I would never fill in the blank. That's a dangerous thing to say. The Bible says the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? And so we need to have some wisdom and make good decisions in our lives in what we do and how we conduct ourselves, recognizing the danger of that old nature to lead us astray as God's people. But we also need to rely on the Holy Spirit to help us walk with the Lord. And so the Holy Spirit can overcome that old nature and help us to live a godly life. Then we need to keep our sins confessed so that we can keep the lines of communication open with God when we sin. So it's important to perceive your nature. So wake up call for the unrepentant. What should we do? He calls us to perceive our nature. So perceive your nature. Secondly, see the danger. See the danger. He says this in verse 7. Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Now, as I was reading commentary on this week, there was some debate and so forth about exactly what is he talking about here. Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Is there somebody else he's talking about? Well, he might be talking about God. He might be talking about the Scriptures, right? Because the Scriptures definitely warn us of wrath and judgment. But the main point here is that there is a coming wrath. Now, this is not something we like to talk about much today. And some people will even tell us, they'll say, look, we've got to seem a little bit more palatable to the world. We can't talk about sin. We can't talk about judgment. We can't talk about wrath. Because somebody might not like that. But the fact of the matter is, the wrath of God, we don't talk about this to coerce people or to try to manipulate people. We talk to people about this because it's real. It's a reality, and it's a dangerous reality. Jesus himself said, he who has the Son has the life. That is eternal life. He who does not have the Son does not have the life, and the wrath of God remains on him. It's not just that the wrath of God is coming someday. The wrath of God is presently on people that don't know Jesus Christ. You say, well, I thought God loved the world. I thought God wanted to save the world. He does. He does love the world, and he does want to save the world. And what is amazing is that as holy and righteous and good and true as God is, he still loves sinners, but he hates our sin. And he's not neutral towards it. And so when we recognize that, it helps us see the need for repentance. Okay? So this is why John is directing their attention. By the way, did you know that there is going to be a judgment day one day? The Bible talks about it in the book of Revelation and elsewhere too. But it speaks of the books being open. There's a record of every sin we've ever committed. If you go through the Ten Commandments, you'll find you've probably broken every single one of those commandments at one time or another. If you haven't broken them outwardly, you've probably broken them and having the attitude of wanting to break them in your heart. Okay? And Jesus said, if you look with a woman with lust, you commit adultery with in your heart. So God looks at not just the outward action, he looks at the heart behind the outward action. And he sees it all. And he sees every evil word that we speak. When we speak an unkind word to somebody else, when we gossip, when we tear down others, he sees it all. He sees it all. He sees when we pursue wicked paths of thought in our minds. The Bible says he searches hearts and minds, and he sees every bit of it. And it is recorded in his books. So sobering to think about. There will be an eternal judgment. There will be a place called hell, and so we need to be prepared for that place. Listen, I'd rather have somebody, if I got cancer, I want somebody to tell me about it so I can deal with it, right? If I've got something wrong in my life, if my roof is about to cave in on my head, I would hope if one of my neighbors saw that, they would come and tell me about it before it knocks me in the head. So too, the reality of the judgment brings a necessity that we tell people about Jesus. It's so critical that we do that as Christians, but it's also critical for those who are not saved to put their trust in Jesus Christ. God says this about those who've repented and trusted in Jesus Christ. He says, we're not appointed to suffer wrath. Why is that? Because 2,000 years ago, a man named Jesus willingly went to the cross to die for your sin and for mine. He took the wrath of God for my sin. As a matter of fact, the scripture even puts it this way. It says, he who knew no sin, that's Jesus, became sin for us. That is, my sin was put upon Jesus in my place. Jesus never committed one sin, but my sin was put upon him so that Jesus became sin for me. Why? So that I might become the righteousness of God in him. Now that's good news. Jesus took my wrath and my judgment in my place. Hallelujah. And so we're called to repent and put our trust in Jesus. Now, Jesus died for all, but not everybody gets the benefit of that salvation. You know who gets the benefit of it? Those who repent and trust in Jesus. Okay? So it is only through Jesus that we receive these benefits. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So we can come through Jesus or not at all. But when we repent and put our trust in Jesus, the benefits of what Jesus did at Calvary are applied to us, and we're forgiven for sin. God takes his divine eraser and blots out the transgressions recorded against us. And past, present, and future, it's all covered by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And I could go free. And I can be a child of God. And I can go to heaven when I die. All because of Jesus Christ. By the way, the fact that they didn't yet know who Jesus Christ was doesn't change the fact that it is Jesus who saves sinners. It has always been Jesus who saves sinners from the very beginning of time. Jesus is the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. The Bible says that God looked over the sins committed beforehand, knowing that Jesus would come. So every sinner who's ever been forgiven was forgiven by Jesus and his work at the cross. So, but we do need to see the danger so that we know the need for repentance. All right, so wake up call for the unrepentant. What are we to do? He calls you to perceive your nature, to see the danger, to notice the inconsistency. Look at verse 8. Therefore, produce fruit consistent with repentance. How's fruit produced? Well, fruit, I don't know that I have ever seen a tree or a plant in the garden doing this. Got to produce that fruit. No, it just kind of comes about as a natural byproduct. Right, of that plant being what it is and receiving the nutrients that God has given through the soil and the water and so forth. So just trying to produce fruit if you don't know Jesus is a fruitless exercise. Okay? What you need is Jesus. And once you have Jesus, he makes you a new creation in Christ. He gives you a new nature that wants to serve God. He gives you the Holy Spirit who produces these fruits in us. Galatians 5 tells us about this. And so the Spirit produces these fruits in us. But then there's also an element of volition in turning to God. And that is, by volition, I mean this is the choice that I make. I exercise my will to follow Jesus, right? That's part of coming to Jesus for eternal life. I'm choosing to follow Him, right? So I'm surrendering my life to Him. I'm choosing to follow Him. So as John says, produce good fruits, the question is how? You've got to have a change, right? But you've also got to make a choice. And this is this choice aspect of this is what John is pushing for, to make a choice to follow Jesus. And when they do, then God will change their heart, and God will send His Spirit, and God will supply what they need to produce the fruit they're called to produce. But John is also trying to expose something as well. He's saying, look, if you're not producing fruit, there's something wrong with this picture. If you say you're a child of God, but you've got no fruit, you can be a child of Abraham, you can be a member of South Clinton Baptist Church. It doesn't matter because your heart's not been changed. You produce the fruit. Now, people say, well, the Bible says judge not that you should be not judged. Well, the Bible says you should not judge hypocritically. Okay? But we make judgments all the time. Every single one of us makes judgments every day that we live. And by the way, Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. By the way, by our fruits, we can do self-examination. If I have no love for God, if I have no desire to follow God, if I have no fruit in my life showing that I've been changed by Jesus Christ, there's a problem. Now, you say, well, don't Christians sin? Absolutely they do. I sin, you sin, all of us at some times will sin. But there's a difference between somebody acting inconsistently with who they are. Now, we got that old nature, so we're acting consistent with the old nature when we sin, right? But what I mean by inconsistently with who we are as a child of God. Because we're children. If you've repented and trusted in Jesus Christ, you're a child of God. And there's a new set of desires. You love the Lord. You want to serve Him. You want to please Him. There's a desire in your heart for the things of God. Okay? And there's a grief in your heart when you sin against God. On the other hand, if you don't know Jesus Christ, there is no new set of desires. There is no desire to follow Christ. And sometimes there may not even be all that much grief over sin. Maybe our conscience bothers us a little bit, but there's not a whole lot of grief over sin. You see, because the unregenerate person doesn't know Jesus Christ, they don't have that power and they don't have that desire and they don't value the things of God. I've told you this before, but I can remember singing the song, "Oh, How I Love Jesus," and I was sitting in the pew as a kid thinking, you know, I really don't love Jesus. I don't even know who He is. And also, I was thinking, I wonder if other people are thinking the same thing as me. You know, you say, well, that was my thought process. But when I truly got to know the Lord Jesus Christ, there was a change in my life. There was. And there was a new set of desires. And so, notice the inconsistency and pay attention to it. The Bible says you ought to examine yourself to see if you be of the faith. All right? All right, so wake up call for the unrepentant. What should we do? He calls you to perceive your nature, to see the danger, to notice the inconsistency, and to face the truth. Look at verse 8. It says, therefore, produce fruit consistent with repentance. And don't start saying to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that God is able to raise up children for Abraham from these stones. The axe is already at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that doesn't produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. So, what are they doing? They're saying, we're children of Abraham. By the way, they said the same thing to Jesus. You know, Jesus said, if you were the children of Abraham, you would do what Abraham did. What is he doing? He's pointing to fruit, right? Jesus is trying to get them to face the truth. And John the Baptist here is trying to get his audience to face the truth of where they really are. He says, you think you're children of Abraham, but what I'm telling you is the axe is already sitting at the base of the tree. God's getting ready to cut you down. That's what he's saying. You better wake up. You better quit putting your trust in this heritage thing and put your trust in Jesus. People put their trust in all kinds of things for eternal life. Well, maybe if I do more good works than bad works, I'll get to heaven. And they think, well, you know, I'm doing all right. I think maybe I'll get to heaven. Some people say, well, you know, I go to church. Did you know the Pharisees and the Sadducees probably went to church more than anybody else? Or to, would be the temple at that time. But Jesus called them a brood of vipers. Why? Their heart was unchanged. Are you trusting? Well, my daddy's a preacher. Well, my relative is a teacher at such and such a church. No, nothing. None of those things will work. We're called to repent and put our trust in Jesus. We make a choice to follow Jesus, and we receive the free gift of eternal life that Jesus paid for. Amen. And then God accepts us. You know, I'm so grateful that God takes the sin of sinners and he buries them in the sea of forgetfulness when we repent and trust in Jesus. He separates them as far as the east is from the west. He chooses to remember them no more. And then he clothes us with the spotless righteousness of Jesus. Did you know what God's standard is? Perfection. I won't ask for a show of hands because somebody will lie. How many of you are perfect? Okay. None of us are perfect. Jesus said, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. None of us are. That means none of us can get there by ourselves. We need Jesus. But when Jesus saves a soul, he clothes us in his perfect righteousness. The Bible calls it justification. So that this sinner, when God looks at me, he sees the beautiful, fragrant righteousness of his Son, Jesus Christ. That's why I can go to the throne of grace boldly. And it is a throne of grace because I don't deserve it. That's why I can live a Christian life. And that's why I can know the presence of God. And that's why I can have a hope of eternal life. Because Jesus stepped into the heart of this sinner and changed him by his grace and power. This is what God calls us to do. So, don't put your trust in the outward things of religion. Put your trust in Jesus. Repent and trust in Him. A wake-up call for the unrepentant. What are you called to do? You're called to perceive your nature, See the danger, notice the inconsistency, and face the truth. AD 70, the Romans would come and destroy Jerusalem. The axe indeed was at the root of the trees. Just in a short time, God's judgment would come against the nation. I don't know when God's, I believe in some ways God's judgment is already upon our nation. But we don't know how much time that we have. Judgment from God is consistent with nations, but it's also consistent with people. Let me encourage you, if you don't know Jesus Christ today, to repent of your sin and put your trust in Jesus. Just, what is repentance? Repentance is a choice to turn from your sin your own way to follow Christ. It's a decision of the will. It's a choice. It's a turning, a shift in your heart, a change of mind. It's saying, I was going that way, now I'm going this way. And it is something that happens by faith, and it's something that the Holy Spirit can help you do. This helped me, a matter of fact, when I was struggling with this and knowing that I needed to repent, I asked the Holy Spirit to help me. Somebody encouraged me to do that. I don't even remember who it was. But I began, Lord, would you help me genuinely repent? And I came to the altar as a 10-year-old boy, and I began to, as an 11-year-old boy, and I began to say, Lord, I'm struggling with this decision. Would you help me? And he did, and I said, I choose to follow you. Boom. And I've never been the same. Thank the Lord. Not perfect, by far, okay? But I'm headed for heaven because of Jesus Christ. This is the hope of the world. So if you don't know Him, give your heart to Him this morning. You can come to this altar and you can tell Jesus in your own words, much as I did years ago, that you want to repent and trust Him. You can come here to this altar where I'm standing, and you can have me help you with a prayer of surrender and trust. And I'll ask you if it expresses the desire of your heart, and you can then make that choice with me helping you if you'd like me to do that for you. But make that decision if you haven't. And if you're a Christian, by the way, did you know that repentance doesn't just happen when you get saved? It should be a regular habit of the Christian life. Jesus said, take up your cross daily and follow me. What is that? What does it take up a cross? That means I die to myself to follow Jesus. Every day. Consistent choice that I'm to make. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. If you want to live in the sweet spot of your Christian life, get good at repenting. It will help you so much in your spiritual life. And ask the Holy Spirit to help you do it. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, help us respond in the ways you desire today. Anyone who is here today that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, help them repent of their sin and put their trust in Jesus. And there's somebody here who already knows Jesus but needs to repent afresh and anew. Help them do that. Thank you for your promise. If we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Help us respond to you now. We pray in Jesus' name.